What do you think I should sit here? Okay. I like it. Can everyone tell me what their names are? What's your name?
Alex.
Annika.
Annika.
Samantha. Lindsay. All right. My name's Amy. So why don't I call you Lindsay?
Mm-mm.
No, I'm not supposed to call you Lindsay. Why not? Why don't?
Because that's not our name.
That's not our name? But what does that mean? I mean, what is even a name? Does it matter what a name is? I could call you Jessica. You look like a Jessica to me. Maybe I'll do that.
We have a name for a reason.
We have a name for a reason. What's that reason? How should you know? give me a guess. It's who we are, isn't it? It somehow becomes who we are. It's a part of us. It's kind of our identity. Does everyone know what that word is? You don't know what it is? Identity is like, it's like who you are. It's everything that you are. That's what an identity is. And so we don't call each other by the wrong name because we want to respect other people that is who you are. But what about, is anyone here a big brother or a big sister? You're a big sister? So is that another name that you go by? Is that kind of like a title that you have?
I'm a big sister too.
You're a big sister too?
I got a baby brother.
You got a baby brother. See, that's something that's really important, that you have a different name. And it's not a bad thing that it's a different name. It's another part of us. It's somehow more. What are you going to say? She calls you Maddie sometimes?
And I like remind her that my name is Annika.
Okay. That's a good thing sometimes we need reminding. But a lot of times when you have a different name or a different title, like sometimes you have a nickname for people, and that can be a special thing, that you have a nickname with your friends, or your mom or your dad calls you something that's a special name for you. That can be something that's just as good as your real name, right? In the story that we're reading today in the Bible, we have two people, Abram and Sarai, and those are their names. And God tells them that he's going to change their names, and now they're going to be Abraham and Sarah. So they live their whole lives with these two names, Abram and Sarai. And now all of a sudden God is telling them, that's not who you are anymore. You're going to be Abraham and Sarah. And because of that, they have this new role that they're supposed to play. They have a goal or a mission that they have to do. And that is to hold this promise that they've made with God, and they're going to create many, many nations from these two people. And it's just showing us again that these names, even though they're important to us, it's always good to somehow have a change every now and then. Does everyone agree with that? Do you think that's an okay thing? So maybe we'll come up with some other cool names. Maybe you can do that when you go to Sunday school today. You can talk about names. Okay, can we pray together about this? Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving us our name, for giving us our identity and making us who we are. But thank you so much for trusting us and having faith in us to give us different names as well. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, of a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Throughout your generations, every male among you shall be circumcised when he is 8 days old, including the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both the slave born in your house and the one bought with your money will be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." These verses from Genesis might not be the most quoted verses from the Bible, but I am willing to bet that most of you know this story. Most of you know who Abraham and Sarah are. After all, they played a pretty important role in history, and maybe saying pretty important is a bit of an understatement. I grew up as a child learning stories and songs from the Bible in Sunday school and church camps. You know the ones, everyone's favorite. That's Father Abraham, how many sons? It goes on and on and on. I am one of them, and so are you. I think that this is probably a church camp that I learned this one, because you sing lots and lots of songs at church camp. But I remember someone talking about Abraham and Sarah, and then talking about Abram and Sarai, and then talking about Abraham and Sarah again, and I just remember being completely confused. I mean, Abraham, Sarah, I got you, understood. Abram and Sarai, totally lost. No idea what was going on. When did they start talking about another story? I'm not sure exactly when the realization came that these two sets of names were in fact referring to the same people, but I know when the realization did come, I was super embarrassed that I did not know it in the first place. Looking at it from a child's perspective, though, how was I supposed to know? You're brought up with this idea that our name is a part of our identity, that our name somehow contributes to our true essence as humans. I am Amy Elizabeth Lester. My mother is Judith Ann Noggle Lester. My father is Michael Reed Lester. So what does it mean then that we have a change of name? When my mother got married, she took on another name. My dad goes by Mike and my mom goes by Judy. Does that somehow change their identity? Does it change who they are? Identity is such an enthralling conundrum. I love discussing it and who we are and what makes us us. It's an attempt at putting quantifiers on something that is, I don't know, intangible. trying to put quantifiers on something that makes us who we are and who we are in our entirety. Now imagine how Abram must have felt at 99 years old when God said, "No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham." Can you even picture it? I mean, 99 years is a long time to go with a certain idea of who you are. And then in an instant, God changes everything. Biblically speaking, a new name is meant to represent a radical change in someone's life or someone's mission. Saul to Paul, for example. And in this text, their names change to reflect this covenant and their new roles in God's world. Sarai becomes Sarah, which means princess, because she will be the one who makes kings of these new nations. And Abram becomes Abraham, literally meaning father of nations. God is challenging Abram and Sarai with these new identities. He is pushing them past the simple definitions that they have assigned themselves already. God has faith in them to uphold this covenant, and in return, they must have faith in him. I think this idea of a name change is very telling, and I think that it applies to all of us here. How many labels are we given in one lifetime? How many names do we go by or define ourselves by? Amy, a nickname of Eos, Les, Lester, Amy Jo, Amy Louise, Aunt Amy, Miss Amy, Little Sister. The first name change that I had in Hungary started very simply. The cafeteria lady in our building didn't know how to spell my name. So she spelled it the only way she knew how to, with the Hungarian pronunciation. And thus, Amika was born. That story and the name that I have adopted into my identity truly make me feel like I'm a part of that community and a part of the Hungarian culture. Like I had been welcomed into a world which, up until that point, wasn't really my own. Each of these names, though they come with certain parameters, I mean, they are boundaries to each name and where they apply. They each come with backstories or maybe inside jokes, but each represent a different piece of who I am as a person, and each piece is integral to the whole piece. Most recently, I have been given the name of missionary, and with it came a definite shift in perspective. It's a very loaded word that for me conjured a pretty specific image. And the most difficult part of adding this character description to my bio line was feeling that I didn't deserve it. What comes to mind when you think of missionary? Developing countries, children with dirty clothes, backpacks and sweat, hard work under the hot sun. Those are some of the things that I think of or thought of when I heard the word missionary. But what was I doing in Hungary? I was in an office every day, behind a desk, behind a computer, working on a website. Now, how does that fit that definition? Not very well. Not very well at all. And you know, in the beginning, it was definitely something that I had to wrestle with. I'd say for the first 6 months or so, I really had to challenge myself and the feelings of inadequacy that came when I thought of the word missionary. As if somehow the work that I was doing was less meaningful because it wasn't quote unquote real mission work. I think I was doing what we all do so well in our lives, which is doubting. I didn't have faith in myself, in my purpose, and in a lot of ways, I didn't have faith in God and the role with which he had cast me. I think some of us can agree that they've been in that position as well. Now place yourself in Abram and Sarai's shoes, or sandals, or whatever. That feeling of inadequacy must have been crippling. you, a 99-year-old man and barren woman, are going to father an entire nation. Sure thing, no problem. There is no problem with that idea. But God made a covenant with them because he knew they possessed everything necessary to fulfill this task. So what does that tell us? How does that shape our perspective moving forward? I want to challenge you today to look at your own lives. And really, you can do this now if you want. How many changes have you seen along your journey? How many name changes or label changes have you seen? What responsibilities or added pressures came with those transformations? Were you apprehensive? How did you grow? And looking back on all those changes in your life, did they make you a stronger person? The answer is, of course they did. God is constantly pushing us to move beyond our self-ascribed boundaries into the beings he knows that we can become. So how do we move forward trusting in ourselves? But more importantly, how do we move forward trusting in the faith that God has put in us? I think in the end, our peace comes when we embrace the fear, the doubt, the inadequacies, and we move forward anyway. We take that step and we feel the uncomfortableness of being in that position. And you stay there for a moment and you realize, this isn't nearly as scary as I thought it was going to be. And then you take another step. No matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how fast, you just keep moving forward. God has equipped us all, and he would never task us with something we were unable to achieve. Our faith in God means that we no longer have to prescribe to the binding limitations that we have set for ourselves or that society has set out for ourselves our whole lives. Instead, we can live in the knowledge that God has given us opportunities to change our name. He's given us the opportunity to redefine ourselves and move beyond our boundaries. Momentous occasions when we decide to answer his call and step out on faith. What name will you answer to next? Amen. Now, it behooves me that I have to take this moment to thank all of you because, as Reverend Pam said earlier, you are the reason that I was able to go to Hungary. You are the reason that I was able to work with such wonderful people and experience such amazing things. And she stated earlier that one great hour of sharing is the United Church of Christ's way of contributing to this ministry abroad. And in a lot of places, a lot of different churches do not have that set up. As a missionary, you are sent around to different churches and you have to beg people for scraps and hopefully you get enough money that you can go abroad. And the way that Global Ministries is working with Week of Compassion and One Great Hour of Sharing means that I don't have to go and beg at churches. Instead, I get to come to churches afterward and I get to thank them for all of the ways that they have supported me in my mission. Now that my mission is complete over there, it starts over here. So the only thing that I want to say is just encourage you that your dollars really are going to something that is worthwhile. I've known so many people that are around the world right now, and the work that they're doing with partners is really, really fabulous. And it's all because you have such a giving heart. And I would like to thank you again for that giving heart, and thank you for supporting me in my ministry. It really, really means the world to me. But now that we're done, I think we have a hymn.